Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.
Welcome along to Friday Night Racing on Off the Ball with John Duggan here. With thanks to goracing.ie, plenty to look forward to at Killarney, York and the Curragh this weekend. Welcome along to the show, and I'm joined in studio as always by our racing guru, Johnny Ward. Johnny, how are you?
How are you? I'm good, John. I'm good.
We're all off to Kilbeggan this week.
I'm not.
Today even, in fact, and I've never been to Kilbeggan myself. The Off the Ball team, we're going down to it for a day at the races. So what can we expect at Kilbeggan, Johnny?
It's a very tight track. You know, you'll have horses who are prominent, probably winning a lot of the races, but a lot of crack. There'll be a good crowd there tonight, Friday night race, and typical summer track in Ireland. You know, we've had some good summer racing this year, and actually decent card tonight. Unfortunately, I can't go along. I have to watch Galway United against Bowes.
Well, you know, you got to have the loyalty to your town and your city. And
John, this could be our last meaningful game for 6 months.
Yeah, that's
6 months. That's a long, long time.
That is a long time, and obviously, commiserations on last Sunday as well, Johnny.
It's just sinking in now. We just didn't hurl, unfortunately, and it would have been a grand larceny if we got Anthony out of the game. But the Galway players were out, I think, on Sunday night, in Dublin, and according to one of my mates who was in the nightclub with them, they were unapproachable. They were that gutted, and they know they just didn't perform.
Yeah, it is, but it's a long run. They've had a lot of games. And I suppose when we're looking at racing stories of the week, Johnny, I suppose we have to start with Mick O'Toole, very sadly passing away at the age of 86. And he trained the Cheltenham Gold Cup winner in 1977, Davy Ladd.
21, they're coming to of the 22 fences, and it's Davy Ladd who's making the most significant progress now, as Somerville is in the lead from Tide Cottage, and Davy Ladd still making ground. Tamerlan back in fourth now, and at the second last in the Gold Cup, it's Somerville from Tide Cottage and Davy Ladd. Jeff King from Tommy Carberry over the second last, and not much between them, and Davy Ladd is still making progress. They're coming to the final fence now. Somerville from Davy Ladd. Davy Ladd switched to the centre to come and take it up now, and it's Davy Ladd for Ireland, jumps it in the lead from Tide Cottage. Somerville back in third, and Davy Ladd now is striding away from Tide Cottage and Somerville as they race into the closing stages. It's a 1-2 for Ireland. Davy Ladd and Desi Hughes going away from Tommy Carberry as they race to the line, and it's Davy Ladd the winner from Tide Cottage and Somerville in third.
And Johnny, Mick O'Toole was not only a great trainer on the flat and the jumps, but also a great character of Irish racing.
Yeah, I mean, the accolades that came in this week just were, you know, I suppose, evidence of the character that he was. And it's actually quite sad listening to that, because Davy Ladd obviously passed away, as you'd expect, but Tommy Carberry's passed away, Desi Hughes has passed away.
Rode the horse.
I suppose Desi's death was particularly sad, because he was relatively young and he was, you know, he was only early 70s, but now Mick has passed away as well, and it's just the passage of time, I suppose. Yeah, but yeah, listening back, you know, those names, they would evoke memories for a lot of people. But like Desi, Mick was from Dublin, and a Dublin trainer is probably a rare enough thing. Mm-hmm. You have, I suppose, Damien English now, and Peter Casey was always, who passed away as well, used to always say, "I'm from Dublin, I'm a Dub, even though my address is Meath." But, you know, Mick O'Toole was a great character. I would have seen him racing quite recently, you know, and always surrounded by people, a good sign of a person. And he'd 8 Cheltenham winners, which, you know, in the era of when it was pretty barren for Ireland, was a fair achievement, and you know, great success on the flat as well.
Dickens Hill, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, just to train, it's a rare man that can train classic winners and also a Gold Cup winner, and you know, it's sad, but it'll be a hell of a funeral, put it that way. There'll just be all the greats of Irish racing will be there to you know, reflect on what was a great career, and may he rest in peace.
Yeah, our thoughts and our prayers are with his family, Mags and Kieran as well, of course, involved in the game. And Johnny, I suppose, what else has been going on this week? Well, Aidan O'Brien has been talking about a respiratory infection in his yard. This must be terrifying for even Aidan O'Brien.
I would even say more so him than anyone, you know, who just wears his heart in his sleeve with regard to everything. You know, he just lives, breathes racing, you know, 100% of his life is racing and family, basically. And for him to have what he described as the worst bug that he's ever had in the yard, which I presume probably goes back to when he was in, back in Joe Crowley's yard as well, which Joseph has now in owning, you know, that's saying quite a lot. And in a season that's been patchy at best. You know, his strike rate in Britain, I think, is around 9%.
That's right. It was 19% last year.
Mm.
And would Saxon Warrior have performed better in the Judmont?
I think he would.
Yeah, then he would.
I think he would.
If this cloud wasn't over the stable.
I Can Fly won in Killarney during the week, and on all known form, she was like the greatest certainty of all time. But she was sent off, I think, 2-1. And Jamie Heffernan said afterwards, some of them are performing, some of them aren't. And it's kind of like,
you just don't know. And yeah, you don't know when it's going to end either.
Yeah, exactly. So, and he's obviously, Aidan has lived his life in intuition and, you know, what he sees. But he obviously is slightly a prisoner to just nature here, in the sense of you just got to ease it out. Like, I back Kew Gardens to win the Ledger, and I'm looking at him during the week and I'm like, what do I want here? Like, I just want him to perform, and will he be okay to win the Ledger? What will Aidan's horses be like for the Irish Champions weekend? But there were some encouraging signs. I thought Saxon Mario ran okay. He had a winner in York yesterday, he had a winner in Killarney, but he went 1 from 30 going into, I was talking on Monday, I think. He was 1 from 30 his last 30 runners. I doubt that's ever happened before for Aidan O'Brien. You know, so it's just a question of just waiting and easing them back in, not pushing the button.
Well, I mean, I think he should get some leeway. He's Aidan O'Brien.
Yeah.
These things happen in racing. It's an animal science. It's not perfection. Speaking of York, Mark Johnston, 4,194 winners now, the most successful trainer in the history of English racing. He's been at the game 30 years. He started from nothing, Johnny, and he's a straight talker, straight shooter, runs his horses very fit, and I think he wins everywhere as well. So fair play to him.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is a hell of an achievement. He charges £75 a day.
Is that good or bad?
It's all in, right? So it, basically, apart from your transport, £75 a day is, certainly in an Irish sense, that's expensive now. Like, so, you know, the most expensive trainer in Ireland, maybe Barry Aidan O'Brien, would be about 60 a day.
Okay.
Euro. So 75, but that's all in. But he's based up north, so he's basically the dominant trainer up the north. But he'll charge, I think, his transport fee is £1 a mile. So basically, wherever you go, you know, if you want to go run down in the south or whatever, you want to run in Yarmouth, you're going to pay for it.
If you're going to Perth.
If you're going to Perth, then you know you're probably a little bit closer. But I find him a difficult trainer to predict in terms of the horses. They kind of run a little bit in and out, but they are fit, and he's been an incredible success. And his son Charlie now, you see, you know, the like Aidan and Joseph, that kind of, you know, just the family is going to come through, and Charlie has an increasing role now. But he looks fresh, like, for, as you say, 30 years. He doesn't look old at all, and it was a hell of an achievement. And I thought it was a bit fitting that the horse that brought him over the line was a horse that was hard enough to predict.
Frankie Dettorian. 20 to 1.
Frankie gave it a great ride, but you're looking at his form and you're like, in a handicap like this, it's very hard to see him winning. He might place, but that's Mark Johnston. The one thing I actually am disappointed about with him is that he used to have a lot of Dundalk Raiders there for about 2 or 3 years, and I really enjoyed seeing his horse come over here, and he kind of stopped that for some reason. And the winter racing in Dundalk over here, there's fantastic prize money, and I used to love seeing the British horses come over, and I hope he might do that again, because it made it a much more illuminating night on a Friday night in Dundalk. But it's an incredible achievement, and he's shown no sign of stopping. I particularly, you know, I suppose, remember Attraction. She was
1,000 guineas.
Yeah, she was just a filly with this, one of the strangest leg actions I've ever seen. It was literally like just like that. There was almost no bending of the knee, and she's now obviously a broodmare. She produced a horse that he trains, actually, who's by Frankel, Alarcam, and so that's the next passage. But it's an incredible figure. It really is.
And Mr. Bailey's as well, 2,000 guineas winner. Well, we're delighted to be joined this week by our special guest. We always have a special guest on Friday Night Racing on Off the Ball, with thanks to goracing.ie. She's from Kilkenny, so hurling was maybe not the first choice. It was actually horse racing. Her dad, Seamus, is a trainer of horses. Her brother, Connor, has had a Cheltenham Festival winner. Very good evening to Katie O'Farrell. How are you, Katie?
Good, very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, Katie. And you are one of the, with one other person, Rachel Blackmore, you're the only professional lady jockeys in Ireland, and you've been a professional for 3 years, that's right?
Yeah, coming up to 3 years.
And the reason why we're speaking to you today is you broke your leg. What happened?
Again. what happened? So I broke... I broke my ankle badly last year. I broke my tib, fib in my ankle and dislocated it. So that was a bad one. I was out for almost 6 months. But I had to get an operation and a plate up the side of my leg. And basically, I've been back riding away. Everything was good. I was riding in the Galway Hurdle for Willie Mullins, and it was just a rough race. It's a rough race anyway, but I happened to be in the thick of it and collided with another horse, collided with me. It's just normal race riding. And the stirrup iron went into the plate that's in my leg and snapped the bone behind it. So the fibula is quite a flexible bone. It probably would have just bounced if it were my other leg, but because the plate was there, it didn't give and snapped the bone at the top. But I didn't think it was broken, so I just kind of thought, well, look, there's plate in there, it's sore, it's going to be sore. So I carried on, and it was 9 days later before I actually went and got an X-ray. I hit the wall, so I had to go into hospital, and I actually still didn't think it was broken. I still just thought bone bruise, inflamed ligament, it'll be fine. But the turf club would want to know why I'm not riding, or, you know, why I had to give up my rides in Kilbeggan. So I said, I'll just go in. I'll go in, I'll get the X-ray just to prove that it's not broken. So
wow. Do you build up a resistance, Katie? Do you build up a resistance because, you know, when you're having injuries like that, that pain is something that you just endure?
Kind of, because... I think every day everyone has a little pain somewhere, and if you get a fall and you don't break something, you've no excuse to stop. And I remember getting a fall sometime last year in Thurles, and I hurt my shoulder, but I didn't break anything, so I just kept going. And to this day, it's an old injury that I have to kind of nurse along and keep right, because I kept riding, I kept going, and I kept just nursing it and treating it as I went. But I don't know, I just think it's too hard to build momentum in the first place. You can't just sit back then when you've got a pain somewhere, because they're always coming.
2011, Katie, your brother Conor O'Farrell rode Buena Vista to win the Per Temps Hurdle at Cheltenham, a 3 mile race. Might not have been expected on the day. Did that inspire you to get involved and to really pursue your dream?
Yeah, that was a great day. I was there, I remember it. But and Cheltenham's always been a special place. We used to always go over for the November meeting. But that was brilliant that day. I'm not sure how I caught the bug. But James, my eldest brother, James is a jockey as well. And between the two of them, I suppose, and Dad having horses in training, I started to ride out one lot in the morning before school. I was more into eventing in the early days, but it just kind of caught on. And then, of course, Connor and James were doing so well all along. I suppose it just the bug caught me.
Have you ever felt, Katie, a sense of unease or in the way room? The fact that you're a lady jockey. Are these kind of prehistoric notions? Has like Nina Carberry and Katie Walsh's success paved the way for you to feel like you can go in there and you're not treated as a lady jockey, you're just treated as a jockey, and that you can compete on level terms?
Yeah, well, that's the ultimate. Like, I have never seen myself as a lady jockey, and there's a huge emphasis on that nowadays. And I'm a little bit like, I never really saw it that way. It's just something that I decided to do because it's just what I was drawn to. So even as an amateur, when I was riding in those professional races, I made it a priority to ride as professionally as I could. You know, in a sense, as an amateur, I was trying not to get in anyone else's way when I was riding horses for my dad and that. But I rode more often in professional races as an amateur, and that's kind of how I wanted to ride more on the track. I had less interest in point to points in that, and I guess Nina and Katie definitely paved the way, and Rachel's flying it now. But I think if you're going to see yourself, if you're going to have to convince yourself, you know, that you're no different, then you're probably in the wrong place in the first place. I just I've always gone into the weigh room and felt like I deserve to be there just as much as any other person in there.
Katie, Johnny here, how are you?
Hi, Johnny, how are you?
Admiring your wallpaper, by the way.
Yeah, thank you very much. If I told you it was my room, would you believe it?
No, actually, but just an injury like this, like it must be gnawing at you because you're trying to make your way in what's a ruthlessly competitive environment, Irish Humps Racing, and you're like, now I'm injured, now I have to come back and kind of almost like start over. Are you worried like that it's going to be that little bit harder just to kind of, I suppose, re-establish yourself and get rides again?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what you've said, word for word. But this year, I think it's a little different, I suppose. Last year, I was out for 6 months almost. I mean, that's a massive time to be out. You definitely have to come back and completely regenerate yourself. But in the last year, prior to this injury, I feel like I don't have that same worry. I'm still worried because racing is, out of sight, out of mind. They do forget you very quickly, but I feel like I've put in a lot of groundwork and built a good foundation and a good network of people that I do hope will support me when I come back. But it's definitely a worry and it's very frustrating, particularly because I was just getting, just getting going. I mean, I rode Low Sun in the Galway 2 days after I got the break, but I didn't know it was broken. And I had a Galway Festival winner. I mean, that's been on my list for a long time. So like, I'm absolutely thrilled with that. And I was just looking forward to building on that and keep going, build into the winter and hopefully have a good winter. But now I'm back to square one, maybe not square one, but I'm just had a bit of a setback. And it is frustrating when I felt like I was just in the thick of momentum and possibly going to, really get places, but that is racing and falls and breaks are all part of it. And I'm no different to anyone else. So I just have to wait out the time and do the work and come back and give another go.
And I suppose Rachel must have been a big inspiration to you as well, because, when she turned pro, I think a lot of people thought she was nuts. And now, people are actually suggesting that she actually might be a very viable candidate to win the jockey's title this year. And I was looking at her there riding a winner for Henry de Bromhead last night. She's ridden like, she's basically, her strike rate for Henry de Bromhead is about 1 in 3 at the moment. She's ridden a rake of winners for Jigginstown. She's obviously riding like yourself for Willie. And you're like, Ruby's riding a bit more sparingly now. So she actually has a chance. But was she an inspiration to you in the sense that, like, more or less, if you graft hard enough, it's possible?
Yeah, definitely. Rachel's always been a grafter, even as an amateur. Like, she worked so hard for anything that she got as an amateur. She doesn't have a horsey background, so had an extra high mountain to climb to be relevant. But hats off to her. She deserves every bit of it, and she's on the crest of a wave now and has been for a long time. But she worked her way up to that too. Like that, she doesn't have a horse background, and look where she's gotten to. So definitely anything's possible. You have to put in the work.
Katie, just take you back to April and Fairy House, and it's Low Sun, 100,000 euro racer in a 25-1 shot, and you win. Just go through your emotions on the day or the experience of the day, please.
That was a mad day. That's probably the best day of my career, I suppose. It was at a sort of a difficult time. I hadn't really come back well enough for myself. I only told two people, a family member and a close friend, I think in February, that if it doesn't get better, I was working so hard and getting nothing out of it, little or nothing. And I just said, if this doesn't get better by the end of the season, I think I'm going to call it, because I'd done everything that I could and I didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. And there's so many really good riders that don't make it. And I was urged to wait till Galway, but Fairy House came and I didn't anticipate the day that was in it. Willie had 10 runners in the same race. And needless to say, I was down in the pecking order, and he was 25-1 for a reason. But I did my bottom weight for him on the day, I remember. And
this is the thing, Katie, as well. If you're riding a horse like that for Willie in one of these handicap hurdles, he might be 8 or 9 in the order, but he has a chance.
And what did it feel like, Katie, when you realise you're in the final furlong here and you're going to win?
I'll tell you my very thought when I landed at the back of the last was, I can't believe I'm winning this race. that was my very thought, because I went out, I was told, look, he's lazy as sin, he's this and he's that, and just keep him up to it, keep him up to it. And like, I had to drill him the whole way around just to keep him interested. But a lad like him will always keep a bit in the tank. So I'd nothing to lose. I had nothing to lose going out there. I got a lovely posse jumping off, and he's quick, you know, he's flatbred, so you can get out the gate and you can get a nice posse, and that's half the winning of a race.
And also, Katie, so the buzz must have been unbelievable, the sheer elation. And half an hour later, you're in the Ladies National on Flemingstorm, and you go and you do it again.
Yeah, it was just one of those days. I pulled up and I just was like, I'm not used to this. But it was just one of those days. And yeah, I'll never forget it. I think after the first one, I was a little bit more surprised than anything. And I at the time, I didn't even really realize how much the race was worth. I was just riding for Willie on the day, and you know, that in itself was enough to keep me preoccupied. But yeah, some buzz. I knew I had a chance in the ladies' chase, all right. But he had been second three previous runs, so I was wondering, is this horse not want to win now, or what's the story? So, yeah, it was just one of those days. Things fell right for me.
And do you believe now, given that you've tasted something like that, Katie, that you've got a few more years left in the professional ranks, you know, is it something that you're now going to get your teeth into when you return from injury?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Teeth are well and truly in there now. I think it was a long road coming back from that particular injury last year. This one's just a standard sort of break. It's 6 weeks. It's frustrating, but it's not going to deteriorate the work that I've done as badly. And like, it didn't even cross my mind the end of the season. Like I had said, oh, if it doesn't get better, I might have to consider doing something else. But no, that thought hasn't crossed my mind since. And it'll take a fair knock to stop me now.
I was in Russia, Katie, and I was trying out some hats, like, you know, army caps and ushankas and tubtakas, which is the hat they have in Kazan. I believe you're into millinery.
That's right, yeah. Spent actually a good bit of time doing it last year. I did 2 years in Ballydoyle, actually. You were talking about Aidan O'Brien earlier. And I started back during, when I was in Ballydoyle. I don't know, I've always had a creative side. And I did a course back then. I've done 4 courses in it and made maybe up to 12 or 13 hats. It's something that I'll probably always dabble in, but lightly at the moment, because while I'm doing this, it takes 100% of my time. But it's definitely, when things weren't going well, I had my granddad saying to me, now, would you not go on and make some hats for yourself? I said, I can make hats when I'm 40, granddad.
John has done his research here. I actually know a milliner, and she's looking for an intern because she's a little bit overworked. So I'm like, bingo, we have our answer here, Katie. And you are injured at the moment, so you know, everyone's a winner.
Katie, what makes a good hat, Katie? What makes a good hat?
Balance.
Oh. Elaborate.
There's a certain balance that a hat needs for me. I wouldn't be into all the extravagant, mad stuff. I like a classic piece, an elegant piece. And it's the balance of a hat is very important. You can't just make a hat and call it a hat. Like it's if you're talking the quality that you would see at Royal Ascot, there's a big difference. And I can see it, but I can see how other people can't see it. In a quality made hat and not.
Katie O'Farrell, hats off to you.
Nice, Sean.
The best
nice.
Of luck. Get better soon, and we hope to see you on the track riding lots of winners again in Ireland in the future months.
Brilliant. Thanks.
All the best,
that.
Katie.
Thanks,
Thank
Katie.
You.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Well, thanks to Katie O'Farrell for joining us on Friday Night Racing.
You've Johnny, done your research there, the milliner.
I'm John Duggan. I'm a pro, Johnny.
Yeah, I would never. I did not. I knew you were a pro, but I didn't know about the milliner.
Yeah. We always have to surprise and also get people's interest. But the weekend, Johnny, the Ebor York, 3:40, the post time tomorrow. This is one of the big handicaps of the year, and Willie Mullins has the favourite.
Yeah, I was. I wish I'd asked her about if she's ridden this horse at home, Stratum. Willie, there's a ledger trial at the Curragh where Willie has three runners, and he's really gone into the training of flat horses or jumps horses to go back to flat. Stratum's now rated 102, and he also has Whiskey Sour in the race, who's only like a 7-1 shot. He's nearly like second in. So like Willie has more or less second favourite and second favourite for the Ebor. That's the sign of where he's going, and it's really incredible stuff. And this horse bolted up at Newbury. He absolutely bolted up.
Owned by the Brighton owner, Tony Bloom, who has Penhill as well.
Yes, and Tony would be sort of a professional gambler type character, but he's done extremely well with the horses that he's actually procured. Like, so Willie's, obviously he's gone to the best with Willie, but I think this would be a win that would mean a lot to Tony Bloom back in his homeland. You know, Brighton have a difficult task against Liverpool at the weekend. This might kind of, make up for it. But he got £8 for winning the last day, but he really, really travelled great in the race. And Robert Winston said there was more to come, which I thought was interesting because the horse is only five. You know, he's not that long with Willie in terms of like his flat racing. And he just looks exactly the type for this test. And
do you fancy him?
I think he's a very, very good chance. You know, if you're back, if you want to back him like each way, 7-2, something like that, it's very hard to see him out of the four. You know, it's a competitive handicap. It's gone up £8, but just the way he did it the last day, like it was never in doubt. And if you want to back one trainer in races like this, just Willie Mullins is the go-to man. And I think Robert Winston will be very much looking forward to it. We spoke about Mick O'Toole. Robert's a Dubliner as well, you know.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, came through, I think, Finglas, and just basically came through a proper urban Dublin background through horses, and has made a fine career for himself. And this relationship with Willie Mullins is quite, I suppose, it's a recent thing, but this horse is a huge chance.
So try to... Time to try and make some money, Johnny. Our Injured Irish Jockeys Fund up to 400. Get a Reason banking a €60 last week. And we have €100 to play with, either €100 win or 50 each way today, or tomorrow rather. And I think you're going to go for Killarney, is it? The Mercedes-Benz handicap chase.
And who trains him, do you think? The great man,
William Mullins.
Part owned by a friend of mine, this horse, Steel Wave.
Steel Wave, okay.
So he sneaks in bottom of the weights, 9-11, possibly a ride that Katie could have, you know, if she were fit back in the day. She does the low weights, and he's basically a horse who thrives on this ground. He's been tipping away over fences. His last runs at Galway over the play trip, which he doesn't really stay in my view. He ran the Blazers, ran a nice race. He's going to be decent enough price on what will be better ground at Killarney than he encountered at Galway. He jumps very well. He's quite a keen going horse. That's the 4:20 at Killarney tomorrow, Steel Wave. But he's going to, I think he's going to run a big race. If he can get into a rhythm and get a good pace to sit off 122, there's more to come from him. And he's going to be my hopeful selection for Katie and all the injured jockeys who may need a little bit of support as they do. So hopefully he can do us the business this week.
So 50 each way?
We're going to go with 50 each way.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, keep an eye on the tote.com or on the tote social media to see what dividend is paid out of this for Johnny's bet tomorrow in Killarney. The 4:20, the Mercedes-Benz handicap chase. Don't know if Steel Wave is going to buy you a Mercedes-Benz, but, you know, might, you know, give you a little bit of a deposit on a Mercedes-Benz.
That's going to be a hell of a bet if he's going to give you a Mercedes-Benz.
I'm just being a little bit facetious.
Yeah.
That's my way. The Curragh as well, just to finish up, Johnny. Tomorrow we got the St. Ledger trial, 3:25. And then on Sunday, two races, group two races, the debutante stakes at 2:35 and the futurity stakes at 3:05. Anything we should be looking at for the next couple of days of the Curragh?
Yeah, well, that race you talk about, the Ledger trial, like, so Aidan O'Brien has four horses in this race, all by Galileo, which is not a big surprise. All his stares, more or less, are by Galileo. But Willie Mullins has three of the eight runners in a Ledger trial. Renetti Laws of Spain and Thomas Hobson. So that's just an indication of where he's progressed as a trainer. I suppose probably the horse to beat is Giuseppe Garibaldi. You know, he ran a nice race behind Wells Fargo, who's somewhat fancied for the Ledger last time, and he's a very promising horse. But I think the main action is on Sunday, and I think we have a potential star on show here in the debutante stakes. We know that Aidan's horses are a little bit in and out. He's alluded to this himself. He spoke in very frank terms this week in York. But Anthony Van Dyke could be an absolute star.
Okay.
Absolute star. He's running in the futurity. Just looking at his dam side, he's a lot of speed on the dam side. Albeit over 7 furlongs, he looks like a mile is going to be the minimum that he wants. And I love this kind of, you know, dilemma you have as a punter. Is he going to be a Derby horse or is he going to be a Guineas horse? Yeah, he could be both.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Camelot.
Or it could be a 1 mile tour. Yeah.
He could be mile two could be his optimum trip. Yeah, he might not, like Saxon Mario, get the mile and a half. But the only proviso as a punter is are Aidan's horses, are they firings that I can lump into this horse at
all? Yeah, it's a tricky one.
But
yeah.
I think he's a potential star. His progression from one to two and his progression from second one to third one was staggering stuff. And if he performs, he'll win. And then we have obviously the debutante as well. I would say probably Hermosa. She won nicely at Galway. She looks a lovely, another daughter Galway, lovely, lovely prospect.
Steal away, folks. Steal away for Johnny Ward tomorrow at Killarney. We're off to Kilbeg and Johnny. Pray for us today, the off the ball crew.
You don't need prayers. You don't need prayers. You've got Ger Gilroy looking after you.
Well, that's always a good thing.
Such as it is.
And HRI as well, so we thank him for that. And that's it for this week's edition of Friday Night Racing. Next week, good action at the Curra, so be sure to join us then even. And for now, bye-bye and Slongafull.
Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.